This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You can't be predictable. That's number one. You cannot be predictable that everybody knows what you're going to do.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
All right, psychos. You don't even have to be that smart.
You don't even have to be that smart.
I'm just saying, this is...
I'm in. Count me in.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Hey, did you get your walk-in yesterday? No, I didn't have a snorkel.
For 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You should never use that kind of language in a public setting. That's all I can tell you.
Are you serious?
It's time for the Tri-City's number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
I'm feeling it. I need somebody to carry this team.
I'm feeling
all
it.
I'm doing is driving a cart.
Yeah, he's a man-child, but he isn't fully developed.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, need a vehicle, thinkmidway.com.
I don't know enough. I just know that, you know, why would you mess with those guys, you know?
He shows up every day biting. Who's tougher?
Well, that guy's about 6 years over his prime.
Get your resume dusted off.
The sand is falling out of Mr. Duda's shorts right now.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
And a good Monday morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this last full week of August. The high school football season gets underway this week. We'll continue our preview heading over to Elm Creek and talking with Coach Jace Dooland. A couple of weeks away and for some 10 days away from the Big Ten season beginning. We'll talk with Joe Bolden, linebacker at Michigan, towards the end of the program. And coming up in our next segment, Matt Buttermore, head coach of the Hastings Bronco women's volleyball team, back from California where they played four competitive matches, went 3-1, lost their final match in five sets, played a lot of volleyball while they were over there and beat a couple nationally ranked teams. So we'll talk with the coach about that. Later on in the week, we will continue our Loper Link. We'll talk fantasy football. Thursdays get underway with Luke Hoover of RotoWire. So some have drafted. A lot more will be drafting. So keep that in mind. Every Thursday, Luke Hoover will be with us. And again, more high school football talk. We'll be looking at Sutton. We'll be looking at Kennesaw. We'll be looking at our games that we'll be covering on Friday night. Alex Gordon homers last night. The Huskers go through a scrimmage on Saturday, and we're ready to dive into it again. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. Morning, Jimmy.
How you doing, Doug?
Good. You?
Tiger Woods played okay.
Yeah.
Boy, he really got the people to come to the tournament. Did you see that?
That first was the time amazing. That he'd been there, A, and then B, he's playing well. And the thing, here's what I was thinking yesterday when I – put it all together, he triple bogeyed one hole. He looked like the Tiger from earlier this year on one hole. So he birdied the last hole. Even if he pars that, he still would have been one shot away. And I didn't see or hear if that would have got him into the FedEx Cup first tournament or not. But then
I think he had to win. That's what they said. He had to win them.
Had to win, and a lot of things had to happen for second.
Right.
If he finished second.
Right,
so
exactly.
We're not exactly sure how all that broke down. But Tiger didn't make it, but he looked okay. And now can he find places? Will he go overseas? Will he try to continue to play golf? Because if he finally started to play well here the last couple tournaments, you don't want to take 3 months off. And there are these – Now the PGA has included these golf tournaments in October and November to count towards next year. Not very much, but I guess you would say they're tournaments that are beneath Tiger Woods. Will they be beneath him anymore? Probably not if you didn't make the FedEx Cup. But Davis Love III wins it, and I guess my early comment was, my initial thought was, we don't need Davis Love III winning golf tournaments anymore. But if you were a Tom Watson fan, which I like seeing Watson win, so I guess Davis Love's 51. And he doesn't have all the majors. I mean, this gets him exempt. He'll get to go play the Masters again. He'll get to go play all of the majors again because of the win here. And that could spark his career. Davis Love, you kind of thought was, well, he's about ready to become a television commentator, not even really on the senior tour. You hadn't heard much from him lately. He's a great guy. Everybody seems to like him. He's been pushed off the Davis Cup captaincy and things like that. But he does win the tournament, and who knows? Maybe he'll be Bernhard Langer. I mean, Langer is, and Jimenez. I mean, you got a couple of guys that are doing very well. Colin Montgomery doing very well on the senior tour, competing on the big boy tour, but not top 10 competing, which it's going to be hard to do when you've got Spieth and McIlroy and Day and on and on and on.
Yeah, those guys have to play four really good rounds, where those other guys seem to play two good rounds and then just play average, and they're right in the hunt. So yeah, there's a big difference there when after you play 72 holes of golf, you can upset somebody in a nine hole, you know, tournament. Let's play nine holes, and then, you know, somebody else can win this thing. But when you play 72, those guys that can play actually seem to just pull away, you know, then pulled away.
National sports, so you get the AP top 25 out, and I guess we can roll into that here a little bit. Nebraska not preseason ranked for the first time since 2008, and all kinds of stories about how many times they haven't, what do they do when they're not rated, and on and on and on. I believe the Huskers had an okay year. I mean, I suppose a lot of people would say that the Bo Pelini years were okay record-wise, but Nebraska made it into conference championships, played for Big Ten and Big 12 titles at the time. So we'll see. Ohio State is unanimous number one, and the AP is so late coming out. It's the last one, so there's nothing in here that's any different than all the other ones put together. TCU, Alabama, Baylor, and then Michigan State is fifth. You have 20th for Wisconsin. Penn State and Nebraska receive votes out of the Big Ten. And the SEC, as always, is strongly represented. That dumpster fire that Brett Bielema took over at Arkansas, they've got him preseason number 18, which I think is interesting. Tennessee, which I know a couple of people like as a long shot, they're 25th. But again, SEC, you got to win the SEC. And Notre Dame's 11th, USC's 8th. So some of the national powers are there. Texas and Nebraska are not. Texas, Nebraska, Florida. First time since the poll's inception in 1950 that none of them are ranked in the preseason top 25.
You know, the team that I think's going to be in this hunt for a while is Missouri, if you look at their schedule. And I think people talk about overlooking somebody in the Southeastern Conference. They haven't done anything wrong. They've had a couple games where they got walloped. I think Georgia beat Missouri 34-0 last year in Missouri. But Missouri played well and has for since 2005, really. They've been a very competitive football team, and they're not getting much respect. I've noticed that a little bit, and I think that team might be, I think Indiana upset Missouri, but Missouri has upset some other people along the way, too, and has been in that Southeastern Conference championship game.
Well, Missouri and Texas A&M definitely transitioned well into the SEC, much better than the SEC people thought that they would. And I suppose if Maryland and Rutgers can go another year or two here, you can say the same about them. How would you say Nebraska transitioned? Probably not as good?
Probably not. I think with Nebraska, I think people thought maybe they'd dominate this side, and especially maybe Wisconsin. You know, they'd have trouble with a Wisconsin, but I think the Nebraska, for the most part, thought they'd be able to handle, you know, most of the other teams on their side. I mean, the Minnesota beating Nebraska twice, who would have thought that? You know, that'd be like, you know, Kansas or Kansas State or Oklahoma State beating Nebraska twice, and that didn't happen very often. I don't think it happened for 40 years there for a while. But Oklahoma State went like 40 straight years, and Oklahoma went like 42 or something without beating Nebraska.
So, and speaking of that Missouri roster, that's definitely, like every other SEC team, pathetically sick and weak when it comes to non-conference. Arkansas State, Connecticut, and then they get into the conference play, and then later on they play BYU as a non-conference game here. So, and Southeast Missouri. Don't let me forget that. They start with Southeast Missouri, play Arkansas State and Connecticut, and then they'll open at Kentucky. I'll throw that out immediately as a trap game because Kentucky was supposed to be a little bit better, make bowl games. Then the home games against South Carolina and Florida, but it's at Georgia is the one, and then at the very end, Tennessee at home and at Arkansas. If they're still in it by the time they go to Arkansas, yeah, but obviously the at Georgia game would be the big one there, the obstacle midway through the season, October 17th.
Yeah, they'll still be in the hunt by Halloween.
Could be.
You know, we'll see.
Could be. If,
yeah, it's just somebody I
noticed.
I mean,
they got to be South Carolina and Florida. I mean, they play South Carolina, Florida, Georgia back to back to back. They're not going.
It was the team that if I had a vote, I would have had them in the top 25 and not, you know, 20th, 25th. I'd have put them in almost like 9, 10, or 11 Missouri. So.
All right. Georgia is 9, just to finish up on that a little bit. Coach Mike Riley and the squad went through their scrimmage on Saturday and then handed out scholarships. And Riker Fife is on a scholarship, and Sam Birch is not. Sam Birch, the wide receiver that made a splash as a youngster out of Elmwood Murdoch High School, got injured, missed all of last season. Not sure that he's fully recovered. And Coach Riley kind of said when he was specifically asked about that, he says, you know, we gave scholarships to guys that are going to play here. And he goes, he was in the mix. There was 8 or 9 kids that were in the mix. But he was asked what Riker Fife and the other 4, Dylan Utter, Trey Foster, Ross Zuras, and Lane Hovey, did to earn that scholarship.
Production, both spring and fall. Trey Foster is a great example of a guy that did okay in the spring and really surfaced in fall camp. And I was really proud of the work that he did. And he worked himself into the mix, and he'll be playing in the games. And he's a good example, utter starter. You know, really, we got to be as fair as we can production-wise when we start talking about giving scholarships out. So, you know, I want the players to know it's fair, and we try to base it on exactly what we see and their contribution to the team.
As far as the scrimmage goes, again, it's that catch 22. If one area looks good, then that means the area they were going against probably didn't. He did mention that the second unit with Riker Fife, they struggled. He said not Riker's deal, but some of the new kids that they're trying to put in there, some of the depth at wide receiver. But he said Tommy Armstrong looked really good Saturday.
I thought Tommy did a nice job. Again, there was some stuff that wasn't real pretty, but boy, did he throw a couple nice touchdown passes. Great reads. I mean, really nice reads, good plays, good-looking double post move by Jamal, a good-looking carve by Jordan. I mean, there were some nice things that were good to see.
And we've said it since spring ball, the biggest concern on this football team is the running game, and it's still not there.
My biggest concern now still is consistency of running the football. We take too many runs with nothing there. You'd like to see 3 or 4 yards at least, and there's too many that are not good-looking runs. You know, we're still procedurally just average. And defensively, we gave up big plays today. I think that was probably the most significant thing in the scrimmage, maybe football-wise, is we made some plays offensively that were real nice, but we can't give those plays up defensively.
So now school starts today into a regular practice regime, the same thing they'll probably do from here until the Iowa game and hopefully beyond. 3:45 type practices in the afternoon. They've practiced at night. They've practiced in the morning. Now they'll practice in the afternoon. Heat shouldn't be a factor. Low 80s. So that's good. But they'll have to get everybody else up to speed. You hear about the 105. The other 30 to 40 guys will get to report and be a part of practice today. Our Husker update brought to you by T&L Irrigation. Farmers, you can now get the best value ever on the best pivot system available today. It's T&L's 2015 Harvest Special, where you can save $9,000 on a quarter miler. Make sure to contact your local T&L dealer like Derek Wagner at Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge, or go online to TLIRR.com. Remember, T&L Irrigation Systems are like no other. We're going to be at T&L here in a couple of weeks for their big 60th anniversary celebration. Big to-do. We'll talk more about that. But it's only made possible by a great system and by outstanding customers like yourself. T&L, like no other. Huskers, what do you think, Jimmy?
Well, I'm real concerned about the running game. I mean, that is really concerning when your coach actually calls you out, you know, and said, hey, we're getting to it. He's exactly right. I mean, the only thing worse than getting 0 yards is fumbling the football. You know, I mean, you get 3 yards and you fumble it because you're trying to get an extra yard or you're trying to get something done. That's the only thing I can think of. But, you know, we knew this was going to be a problem, and it was a problem last year. It really was a significant problem because when Abdullah went out of the game, we weren't getting much on that. Anytime anybody got a good run. The year before that, we had some hope. You know, Cross would make some good runs. We had some other guys that would step up. But last year, I didn't see the running game. I think this is a real huge concern for Nebraska, and probably the reason they're not ranked in the top 25.
We'll see how it all plays out less than 2 weeks away with BYU. We'll take a break, switch over to volleyball. Matt Buttermore of Hastings College is going to join us. We'll also talk little football with Jace Doolin at Elm Creek and Joe Bolden, linebacker from Michigan, and our Big Ten chat still to come.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll stay with mostly sunny skies across the area today with a high up into the low 80s. Winds out of the southwest will meanwhile stay at about 5 to 10. With a clear sky tonight, we'll head down to 53 with a light south wind. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 64.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. And as always, if you're thinking about what to do for lunch today, how about the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill in Kearney? No one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop with their outstanding flame-broiled buffalo wings cooked over an open flame. And then your sauce, whichever is your favorite, seared right on there. Of course, Monday is Coop Koozie Night. You can get the koozie for $5. And then all evening long, 12-ounce cold ones are only a buck, and you can do that every single Monday night. If you've got the koozie before, just bring it in tonight and watch your favorite sporting events, which whether it's a preseason NFL, Major League Baseball, or shooting the hay there with your friends and family. Chicken Coop is the place to be. Great food, great atmosphere, and the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill is there for you with Coop Koozie on Monday night. Well, I've been traveling a little bit the last few weekends, and Jimmy, you traveled a little bit the last few weekends, took the boy down to college, as many parents probably did. But Matt Buttermore and his Hastings volleyball team, they one upped us and went out to California.
Did they get to fly, do you know?
I hope
we drove,
so.
We'll find out. We're going to find out.
He wouldn't be back yet. The head coach of the Broncos joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Matt, how's that budget looking over there?
Well, we took Segways out, so it was a pretty cheap trip.
Attaboy. Well, the girls, and again, when we start talking Hastings College and the NAIA, they start earlier than everybody else does out there when it comes to practice and competition. And your girls right in the mix of a GPAC where everybody thinks it's about a four or maybe a five-team race, so that's pretty cool. It's going to be that competitive. Four teams are ranked nationally. You're one of them. You play three nationally ranked teams out in California. California, and you represent yourself very well. I assume you have to be pleased.
Yeah, you know, it's always, this tournament is one we've had our eye on. It's always a really competitive tournament. It's almost in a national type atmosphere. It's a nice gym, but a smaller gym with a lower ceiling, so it's just loud and intense, and half the matches go to five sets, and it's just a great way to start the year and get everybody kind of going, okay, this is where we need to be as a team, and we comported ourselves pretty well.
Hastings wins a 3, 4, and a 5-setter, and then they dropped their last match against 16th-ranked Southern Oregon, 15-9 in the fifth set. Four intense volleyball matches, and watching online, you could tell the gym size was equal to a lot of high school gyms around here. Did the girls get tired at all?
You know, we might have spent a little too much time at the beach on Wednesday, but not too. Maybe Thursday we got a little tired, and then I think Friday they were a little more used to the gym conditions and were a little more ready to go. You know, you warn them as a coach, but they don't really quite believe you until they get there and kind of get in their feet wet in the intensity and stuff. And so, you know, maybe a little bit, we got it out against a good Westmont team. They're, you know, they're not ranked right now, but I'm sure they will be soon. You know, that was a nice win in five sets against them. Very good defensively. And then Friday we beat a good LC State team. And then Southern Oregon is probably the most talented team we played out there. And it was, you know, it was, I've never felt that good after a five set loss because it was just a heck of a volleyball match. Both teams played really well. And they had a little more in game five than we did, or at least for the first 15 points. So, but overall, it was a great experience for the girls and a great competitive start to the year.
Yeah, Coach, you talked about the low ceiling. Your next game is going to be at the Heartland Event Center. You probably won't be able to hit the roof there. Talk a little bit about how that game became, how you decided to play it there. And I know the state fair is going on. Who are you playing? And talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we, you know, the Grand Island Sports Council and the State Fair folks, and they approached us about, you know, what, you know, how can we get some volleyball going in the Heartland Events Center, some college volleyball. We talked about some spring things, and, you know, they said, well, you know, they're having the out. It's a, I don't listen to country, so I don't know who it is, but the country artists they have moving out, out concert outdoors because they brought in a name brand act, a big name act coming in. And so they moved that concert outdoors, and they said, well, we have the space Friday night. You know, is that something you guys could do? And Bellevue owed us a home match. We went to their place last year, so we said, why don't we play our home match up at the event center this weekend? And they were, of course, excited about it, and everyone was excited about it. And now we're getting ready, making our final preparations for it on Friday.
Matt Buttermore, head volleyball coach at Hastings College, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. That should be fun at Grand Island. You can get a corn dog and go watch some volleyball. You can't do that everywhere, people.
No. Matt, I wonder if they'll let me have one on the bench.
you let Laura take care of the coaching in the second set, and you can have a corn dog with all the mustard you want on it, brother. Go ahead.
She's too healthy. She would eat that anyway. I'll go grab one.
Let's talk about the girls, the mixture, some new names. You're going to look at a stat line, and that's all I can look at is the stat line from California, and you should have the same 2, 3, 4, and, of course, the more you have, the more balanced you're going to be. But you had about four girls that were all there in all four matches and kills. Obviously, you're going to have the same look at the setter position. But you got a freshman that makes a good impact in Sage Meyer the first weekend. We know a lot about Priceler from McGiltner. She had a good weekend. And then Jenny Clout out of Ashland really put the cherry on top, even though it was that loss. She had 23 kills against Southern Oregon. Just talk about your offense a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a big emphasis for us this preseason. You know, we've had one of the best defenses in the country, really, the last 3 years. We just could not score enough points off of our digs and blocks and stuff last two. So we really wanted to be better offensively this year, and you saw some of those numbers. Jen had 23 kills and hit 460, which is ridiculous against Southern Oregon. They just didn't have an answer for her, and she's 6'3", and she poses some matchup problems at the net, and she's worked real hard to become the player she is today, and she kind of had to wait behind Zuha last year, who was an honorable mention All-American, and she's made the most of her opportunity so far. And then we had Logan, I think, had really good numbers all weekend. And Sage had some big matches for us as a freshman. You know, that's a big environment to put her in right away, but she reacted really well, I thought. So, and then Abby, of course, has been very solid for us. And then Katie at the setting position has been as good as always. And Jill Bax, our libero, really impressing coaches out there with her play and intensity, and her sister Michaela and her in the back row is a pretty good combination. So,
Matt, besides Sage, are you looking at any of the new kids to step up or play a role this year?
You know, they could. You know, we have a really talented group of young outsides that, you know, if not this year, then in the next, you know, 2 and 3 years for sure, we'll make, you know, make the names on the court, I think. You know, we have Morgan Heiss from Wood River still in that spot, and obviously with Abby as a junior. So they are, you know, they have some experienced players with varsity experience ahead of them. So they have some learning to do in terms of picking up our system and what we like to do and what we ask our outsides to do. So, but I think if not this year, definitely next year and the year after, we'll start seeing some of those kids start to make an impact.
Because Heiss is the only senior on the roster, is that what's probably keeping everybody a little apprehensive about how good this team will be, just to see? I mean, they're supposed to be good, but we got to see it first before they start moving up the pole?
Well, I have no idea. I mean, maybe I'm in the same boat. You know, we've got some things we got to work on still. You know, we still have some new people in some spots, so there's, you know, saw some really good things, but even the matches we won, there are some things we really struggled on. We weren't as terminal as we'd like to be against Westmont. A couple times we worked real hard to generate a point scoring opportunity and wouldn't get the kill out of it for various reasons, you know, and just sometimes some miscommunications and things like that. And that happens with every team. We're not special in that regard, but you know, it's really early yet. We have a really tough weekend coming up at Bellevue. We'll probably learn a little bit more about our team. So we're just trying to get, you know, it's coach speak, but really just trying to get better. We're not really talking about rankings or positioning. Sometimes we put it up in front of the girls. We haven't even talked about it this year. So,
Just a young group, a lot of talent there. We'll see how she all plays out. Last minute with Matt Buttermore, Hastings College volleyball coach, started the season 3-1 out in California, which is a great experience for on and off the court, especially when you got youngsters and they play well. Next weekend, you'll host your own Labor Day Classic. You've got a couple of nationally ranked teams in Rocky Mountain and Grandview coming in, Olivet Nazarene, St. Francis.
Next weekend, we're at Bellevue next weekend.
At the Bellevue Labor Day Classic. You guys don't come right home until later, but tell me a little bit about the competition next week.
Rocky is probably the cream of the crop there. They spent most of the year last year at number one. They're number five right now in the preseason rankings, and they lost a couple, but they also were sitting outside this weekend, and they're going to be a tough squad. They did graduate probably the best middle in the country last year, so they have some pretty good middles playing. We saw them. They were at the same tournament we were at, so we were able to see them play a little bit. And then some just perennial powers, Olivet, Grandview are at the Bellevue tournament. So that's going to be – it might even be a tougher tournament than when we just came back from. And then we have our home tournament, the Five Points Bank Invitational, the following weekend. And we really have, I think, a premier matchup on Friday night with Carroll College and then Friday afternoon with Montana Tech. So it's going to be a good one.
Well, a lot of fun volleyball to watch. And again, folks can catch Hastings volleyball against Bellevue at the Heartland Events Center this Friday night. First serve is set for 7 o'clock. And, Coach, we'll talk with you again when conference season gets closer. Best of luck here in the next month.
Yep. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care, Matt. Matt Butterbore, head coach, Hastings College volleyball, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good start to the season. One senior. So a lot of these youngsters, I mean, you can't think ahead to next year already, but as Matt said, that foundation started this last weekend with a lot of these youngsters seeing a significant playing time.
Yeah, it must have been a pretty good tournament. You know, he said that Southern Oregon team he played, and he said, hey, you know, I we lost, but, you know, hey, we're trying to get better, and, you know, we're not going to get better, basically, mm-hmm. unless we play somebody of that competition. Basically, the game could have gone either way, felt, and it just didn't go their way.
Beautiful week to be outdoors, and if you haven't been to Prairie Hills Golf Club lately, then you haven't been to Prairie Hills, period, because since taking over the course this spring, Justin Kosmicki and his staff have dramatically improved the course, a menu in the clubhouse that will fill your stomach, improved greens and great rates, and if you haven't been to Prairie Hills, take a chance to do it here before the nice weather leaves us. It's only 10 minutes north of Kearney, and the prices aren't even of 2015. They're like of a generation ago. You can play 18 holes with a cart on the weekend for only $30, and they have weekday deals on their Facebook page as well, Prairie Hills Golf Club. Check them out. Call for tee times or the specials, 388-5115, 388-5115. Our high school football preview with Jace Doolin of Elm Creek when we return.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty is a proud supporter of Kearney High, Kearney Catholic, UNK, and the Tri-City Storm. Best of luck to all the area athletes from NP Realty, and we'll see you at the game.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Nebraska weather is so unpredictable. Don't be left out in the storm with hail dents or even door dings. When your car plays the star in the episode of Nebraska Severe Weather, see the professionals at Dent Popper in Kearney to save you. Dent Popper can remove minor hail damage, door dings, and other minor dents without damaging the original paint. Joel, Scott, and the guys at Dent Popper know how important your vehicle is to you, and keeping it looking nice is what they do. Stop into Dent Popper today, just south of the library on First Avenue in Kearney.
Let's play ball. Youth sports and adult fall sports leagues are now forming at the Hastings Family Y. Youth sports include soccer, flag football, and volleyball. Adult fall leagues include women's co-ed volleyball and men's basketball. Registration deadline for adult leagues is September 15th. Registration deadline for youth sports is September 8th. For more information on fees for members and non-members, please contact the Hastings Y today at 463-3139 or log on to hastingsymca.net.
Doug and Daddy's show, easing on into the last week of August in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, where the 2016s have started to roll into the lots daily. Stop into Midway GM or Midway Chrysler on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney to see how you can score a great deal on a 2015 or see the newest 2016 models for yourself. And don't forget the Chevy Summer Bonus Tag event runs through the end of the month. Find your tag, choose your deal. You can get 0% APR and an additional $1,000 purchase cash or an additional $500 lease bonus cash on select vehicles. Just choose the deal that fits your needs. At your Midway Auto dealerships, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, the Midway Auto Outlet with over 250 used vehicles for you to look at, and you can see them online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. The high school football season gets underway Friday, and remember, for 8-man schools, Class D schools, not all of them will play this Friday. They are still on the eight team schedule and not the nine. So Elm Creek will open with a improved Perkins County team on September the 4th. And Coach Jace Doolin joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda and Jim Langan. Usually I run into Jace pocketing some cash at local golf tournaments over the summer, but I did not do so this year. Jace, how was your summer?
It was pretty good. Was busy. A lot of camps. Got the kids out to camps and didn't get too many golfing rounds in, but when I did, it was nice to get out and enjoy the course.
Jace, when you look back, and I guess you're probably the team more than any other after the season was well over and we were watching them play basketball and into the summer and getting ready for this year, that I look back and go, my God, Elm Creek was better than a lot of people. I mean, you were 10-2, but You're a play away from being in the state finals and seeing what Hemmingford does. Do you allow yourself to look back at last season, even though you fell that one game short?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that you look back. It's a great season. The kids that graduated were good kids, and they're type of kids that they're only going to be coming back and cheering the kids playing now on. And the kids now got to use that as experience. And that's what we got to take with us this year is we got the experience. We've been there now. So trying to get back there is that goal this year. And really just kind of each game you got to strive to try to match that what we did last year.
Hey, Coach, you've got a really good offensive line, it looks like, with Bartling and Hubbard there. And then you've got to have some – you've got some weapons there, too. Have you kind of decided what you're going to do at quarterback yet, or is that something you want to keep quiet?
We got a lot of options. We got three kids that playing right now between Dominic Johns is kind of taking – he stepped in at the end of the game last year when Nick Crowley got hurt. So, and then he's showing the leadership right now and really kind of taking over the reins. But not far behind him is Dylan Gilmey, another junior. And then we have a pretty good freshman that when he gets older and gets the experience, Preston Walker will be a fine quarterback for us here in a couple of years. But he's definitely challenging them as well. And all three of them got just a little bit better. They do a little bit better things than the other. And but right now, Dominic's kind of – he's got the control, and he's bigger, stronger, and he runs better a little bit. But he's kind of got that experience, and what he did at Hemmingford, coming in and handling that pressure, really, I mean, it tells that he won't be in a tighter game or a more pressure game than that. So we have the confidence in him right now.
Talk with Jace Doolin, the head football coach at Elm Creek, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You have a line that I think some 11-man teams would like to have, experience, depth, and you got some bulk up there. Talk about your O&D line.
Yeah, we do. We feel that offensive line and defensive line are one better than the state. And two kids, and Tyrone Hubbard and Nate Bartling, that this will be their third year starting. And then Hunter Trampy at center, really good kid that really good communicator at the center position, what we like about him. And he started at center last year. And then Darren Hunt is another 6'2", 250-pound kid that he's competing for some playing time. And we got a couple of seniors that really could push, get some reps in there that haven't had a lot of playing time, but have some experience and some years and know the system really well, that I think we got about 5-6 kids that could play offensive line, which is a good thing. Defensive line wise, we got a couple preseason all-staters and well-deserving. Nate Bartling and LaShawn Thorderbar really hold that side, and we're going to have to use that on defense quite a bit. They'll make a lot of plays, which is good because those plays will be at the line of scrimmage and holding offenses. And an 8-man, that's a big key when you hold teams to one or two touchdowns.
And Jace, a little more on LaShawn. It looks like he'll be your man at the running back position. And he's just he's kind of that straight-ahead beast. Have you had to coach him up a little bit on the finer points of being a running back, or do you like that straight-ahead approach that he brings?
I do. I really like that straight ahead. We tell the kids, especially him, and he's good at it, it's just when you're going, you make one cut. That's all you get. If you make that one cut and make a guy miss, because once you start dancing, the rest of the defense is going to get there and make the play anyways. So for him, he has made the transition. And these first couple weeks and even in the summer, you could really see each time he got the ball, he just kind of progresses in from a fullback position to a running back position. He's had that mentality of getting the ball and trying to go and hit somebody, and now it's kind of run away from him. So he's getting better each day to get that mentality of a running back and try to make guys miss. But for him, it's make one cut and try to race him to the edge and try to get around him. And I think he has enough speed to do that.
You know, Coach, I look at your schedule, and last year I think Blue Hill played Hemingford a pretty good game too, early in the playoffs, and then you went down there and played them tough, and then they kind of go, other than those two games, you have Blue Hill. Is that the game on your schedule you're looking at that you think, hey, this is going to be maybe the district championship, or is there somebody else that will surprise you?
Yeah, for the district, they're definitely, that's the game. We'll probably, hopefully, it'll come down to that game. We play them later on in the year. And they should be pretty good. They'll have some tests early on in their season. We will as well. Perkins County, you mentioned it on the get-go. They got some speed. They're going to be pretty good. They're kind of a sleeper this year. I think they're going to be pretty high in the playoffs and make some moves in the playoffs. They're going to have a good year. So that's what we're focused on right now. District-wise, we got a tough district. There's a lot of teams in our district. I see four, maybe even five teams from our district making it to the playoffs. So when it comes district time, we got to take each game, and hopefully we can win districts this year.
Well, there's no doubt that there are teams in this district over the last 5 years, I don't even have to go decade, that have had success. Shelton, Arapahoe, Blue Hill, and Axtell was so young the last couple of years that they're going to be sneaky as well. Franklin, the fifth team there. We'll wrap it up with this, Chase. You guys also have a weapon, and Elm Creek has kind of had a little special teams weapon over the last decade or so, but you've also got the preseason place kicker in Chris Quintana.
Yeah, and Chris does a good job. He really works on it in the summer. He comes out, kicks every week. Really strong leg. Really, it's a nice thing to have every year. That extra point, even a field goal, if you get a chance to kick a field goal. And those close, tight games, that's what it comes down to, is making those extra points. And hopefully by the end of the game, you can make those more extra points than if the other team goes for two. There's a slight under 50% chance is what I always say for making 2-point conversions. So making the extra point is always valuable. Chris does a good job at that and has worked on it. And with 8-man, you really got to hurry because it's a short edge. So he's pretty good at how quick he gets the ball up and gets it going. So pretty accurate as well.
Well, Jace, we look forward to seeing you guys soon here in 2015, and continued success. Great job with you and your coaches so far, and we'll chat again.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Jace Doolin. Head football coach, Elm Creek, continues to chug along, and especially in that 8-man game, Jimmy, if your kicker can put it into the end zone for the touchback, start at that 15 every single time. Let's face it, look at Kennesaw. You want to kick to a Schnitzler kid all the time? No. You want to keep it out of that best kid's hands. It's so much easier in 8-man than 11-man to score on special teams that if you take that totally out of the equation, it's huge. And the thing I always chuckle about at the 2-point conversion, and you as an 8-man coach for some time in your career, let's face it, it's easy to run a 2-point conversion in when you're playing a team that's 1-6. When you're in the playoffs, that doesn't happen near as often.
Yeah, you're exactly right. He made a kind of a good point about the extra point. I mean, it's kind of, I wonder what the percentages are exactly on those 2-point conversion tries. Like you say, when you're playing somebody that's 8-0, 7-1, and can up front, they're really tough to get 3 yards on compared to, you know, you can run about any play you want to against some of the 0-8 teams, and you're going to be able to get in the end zone. Even if you mess it up, you'll find a way to get 2 points on that. So, but yeah, that kicking game, but you, Doug, you really hit it on the head. I think it is more valuable to kick the ball in the end zone. It really is more valuable to be able to do that and time again. Plus, you know, you can give your kids a rest on special teams if the kicker can kick the ball in the end zone. Because if he can't kick in the end zone, those guys, your players that are quality players, have to be on the kickoff team. to tackle a guy because it's such a dangerous weapon. But by kicking in the end zone, they get to take a play off, get a drink of water while that guy's kicking it in the end zone. And it takes two to get a two-minute rest. It really is probably the most amazing stat in eight-man football is being able to kick that ball in the end zone and being able to rest your players.
No doubt about it. A good point. And let's take a look before we go into our break here of our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you over the weekend, after leaving their preseason game with another injury, should the Washington Redskins move on from Robert Griffin? 59% said RG3 is done after this season. 33% think he's done right now. 8% must be Redskin fans or Giant or Cowboy fans. Say, no, keep him. Yeah, he's the future. Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. With another walk-off win over the weekend, are the Astros going to win the American League West Division? They have a four-game lead over the Texas Rangers. Can we go back to the tape? Was it when we had Perenio on, or we were just chatting about who we'd like to have? And I said, I want my ticket on the Texas Rangers. The Rangers have moved into the wild card. Right now, they have the wild card by a game and a half over the Angels, so that ticket is not even as worth as much. But I like the way the Rangers are playing. And you know what? Just because of what happened this weekend, I'm not going to say that the Astros are or are not going to win the division. So my vote will be no. Will the Astros win the American League West?
You know what I think is the most amazing stat, you guys, that I just noticed the other day, and I've been following baseball for a long time. You know who I think's going to finish last in the American League Central?
Detroit?
Your own Detroit Tigers. Wouldn't that, you know, the team that was at the beginning of the year was like even money or less to win the division. They've traded some players, and I think the White Sox and the Indians are trying to, you know, get over 500 or saying, hey, let's get over 500. They're still playing. And I think you got a team like the Detroit Tigers that they're not used to be playing.
They look, you can tell in the body language that they just, you know, when it's a double play, they're not hustling to first.
That's what I'm saying. They are not excited about, you know, being, because they've ever, for 6 or 7 years, they've been in a race or a pennant race every time. And now they're going to have to play this whole, you know, 30 games here without having a chance. And I think they're going to finish last.
Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. Right now, Toronto has a half game lead over the Yankees in the East. The Royals, 12.5. Over Minnesota in the Central, the Astros 4 over the Rangers, and 5.5 over the Angels in the West. In the National League, the Mets a 5-game lead over Washington in the Central, the Cardinals a 3.5 game lead over the Pirates, a 6.5 game lead over the Cubs, and in the West, the Dodgers have a 1.5-game lead over the Giants, 5 over the Diamondbacks. I suppose once again, if you were looking for that long shot this late, you go try and get a Diamondback ticket. But I also liked the Cubs. You just never are going to get that value, kind of when we were talking about the Rangers. The Cubs, all they can do now is hope to make the wild card. As well as they're playing, they get another sweep over the weekend. And so Cub fans, when there are millions of them, still something to talk about here as we get into September. They're still in the hunt. That's good for Chicago.
Yeah, it's good for baseball, too. I mean, you know what's amazing to me? I looked the other day, Doug. You know how many the Royals are – like 33,000 is what they're averaging in attendance, you know, per game at home game. They're 10th. I mean, if you look at all the teams, they're 10th in attendance per game. I looked at that. I can't believe that. Now, you know, some of these stadiums like the Dodgers, you know, hold more. So they're averaging about 42,000, 43,000.
Wow.
You know, the LA. But isn't that amazing that
really?
They're 10th in the league out of 30 teams and they're almost packing the place in.
Wow. I know they lost a few seats when they did the remodeling, but not that many.
No, they still can. They can get 41,500 if they want to get standing room in there. But what I'm trying to say is that they're 10th. I never dreamed they'd be 10th. I thought they'd be second or third. You know, but you know, there's some ballparks that hold more people, and they're you know, so that is a lot to do.
Keep winning, baby. Keep winning. They open a series with Baltimore tonight here on the Breeze 94.5 at 7:10. Our Big Ten chat: Michigan linebacker Joe Bolden, he's up for the Butkus Award. He's got a new head coach. We'll talk about Michigan when we return.
The 2015 Oregon Trail Rodeo takes place at the Adams County Fairgrounds with performances on August 28th, 29th, and 30th. Dance to Whiskey Vent on Saturday night starting at 9:30, and on Sunday enjoy a free barbecue for all ticket holders from 3 to 5 p.m. The rodeo starts at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 5 p.m. on Sunday. General admission tickets are only $10 each. For tickets or for more information, log on to AdamsCountyFairgrounds.com or call 888-462-3247.
At John Deere, we know you wouldn't buy a car without taking it for a spin. And it's, well, just a car. So you'll definitely want to get behind the wheel and test drive the brand new John Deere S240 Sport. Equipped with a powerful V-twin engine and heavy-duty hydrostatic transmission. Available exclusively at your local John Deere dealer.
Find your full line of John Deere products at Oregon Trail Equipment. With locations in Hastings, Fairfield, Hebron, Red Cloud, Superior, and Marysville, Kansas.
It's been a long day, and your car is on E. Ugh. Okay, I'll go to Fast Bills. Because when I walk in, I know that I will be greeted with a fresh brewed tea or coffee and a smile. A good joke and sometimes a bad one. But the point is, they remember their customers and treat them like friends. So all of a sudden, filling up is something you look forward to. Fast Fills Plaza, your Senex station, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Fill your tank with Senex gasoline and fill your tummy with all your favorite munchies.
Attention seniors, enjoy the magic of Christmas in Branson, Missouri. Hastings Village is destined for Branson November 10th through the 13th. Join us for an escorted deluxe motor coach tour this fall. All adults 55 and older are welcome on this fabulous mini vacation. Your escorted tour includes world-class shows, unique Branson attractions and sightseeing, the Showboat Branson Bell, plus more. Call Deb at Hastings Village today to register. Seats won't last long, so call Hastings Village for your Branson bus tour this November.
The high school football season kicks off on Friday night, and we've got you covered right here and online at flatriverpreps.com. On ESPN 1460, it's Kearney Catholic traveling to Ord, while Hastings High will host Caring on 1550. On 1230 KHAS, Adams Central's at Cranola Northwest, and on Classic Hits 98.9, the Kearney Bearcats host Grand Island. High school football all season long, right here and online at flatriverpreps.com. Doug and Danny's show rolling on a Monday. This Sunday, it is our Kearney Alzheimer's Walk at Yanny Park. Join us starting at 11:30 with Family Fun Day, all kinds of activities. You can't have a fun day without a bouncy house. We got that. We got tunes. We got all kinds of things going on. And then the walk to end Alzheimer's starts at 1 o'clock. So we would love for you to be a part of that. If you can't and just want to donate to the organization, we'd love to have you donate to the Doug and Daddy team here at ESPN Radio. We'll be out there on Sunday, and we're going to do some things for you as a donator. If you donate $20, you're going to get a Classic Hits t-shirt. You can get Royals vouchers, a pair of Royals vouchers, good to turn in for tickets that remain for Royals games. For every every $50, you're going to get a pair of Royals vouchers. If you get $100, you get the vouchers and Classic Hits t-shirt, and we'll get in, or you can get a parking pass and the Royals vouchers as well. What we're saying, there's also Tony Orlando tickets to the State Fair and many other items. These are on a limited supply, so first donations get all of these great prizes. And again, we want you to be a part of the Doug and Daddy team for Alzheimer's. You can find out more at alz.org. You can go to our webpage at espnsuperstation.com to find out how to donate and to be a part of this. And then we get your name, we get you your prize, or we have you stop by the studio and pick it up. And any donation is going to get you qualified to co-host the Doug and Daddy show. We will pick out one of the donations, and we will select that person or group, but in this case, I'm sure it'll be a person, to co-host the Doug and Daddy show at a future date. So we're trying to have some fun and cure and help cure this awful, awful Alzheimer's disease, and the Alzheimer's Walk is this Sunday. So we hope that you can be a part of it. Alex Gordon was hitting a home run last night, and Jabba Chamberlain pitched the eighth inning way better than his outing that started things. Went 1-2-3, got two strikeouts, sold out last night. Omaha Storm Chasers get the win, Jimmy. So fun for the fans in Omaha.
Yeah, what the plans are for those two? Do you have any idea what they're going to do with Jabba and Alex? I'm pretty sure we know what they're going to do with Alex.
Oh, yeah,
with Jabba. Yeah, you just don't know what they're going to do with Jabba, but they're taking a shot at him, you know, and to see if they can bring him up after September 1st, right?
Well, it has to be. He's going to have a few more outings like he did last night to get the call up to Kansas City. But Gordon, just a couple of comments about getting back into action and hitting the home run.
It's good. I'm excited. Finally get some bats and see live game situations. So it's been a long wait, but I'm glad I'm healthy now and hopefully be back soon. Saw a lot of pitches and then 3-2 just got in front. Was, you know, put a good swing on it.
And, of course, with the packed house last night, a little surprised but not totally shocked of the fan following.
I wasn't expecting this kind of a turnout. I mean, more than I expected. So that's what you get with Nebraska fans, always loyal, always going to come out and cheer you on. So it was good to see.
And, again, a 3-1 win over Sacramento. A couple of other sports notes. The Nebraska basketball team back from Spain, they went 4-0 over there for what that's worth. I mean, let's face it, we have no idea how good these teams are until you talk to Coach Miles and get the recap from them. So we'll see how that all played out. The volleyball team, the Huskers, had their red-white scrimmage last Saturday. They'll open the season this weekend with home games on Friday and Saturday as well. It's time for our Big Ten Chat, brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, serving the Catholic families of Central and Western Nebraska, and the Kearney Chicken Coop, home of hot wings and cold beer. Talk a little Michigan football here. Two teammates that are on the Butkus Award watch list, which goes to the nation's top linebacker from Michigan. So maybe Michigan's taking over linebacker you from Penn State and some of the other places. Joe Bolden joins us. Thanks for the time today. What about having a couple of teammates vying for the award?
Oh, it's awesome, and thanks for having me. You know, it's definitely a special honor. Obviously, that award is very prestigious. It's also just a watch list. So there's still a lot of work to be done, and I think if you ask Biggs or James Ross, I think he would tell you the exact same thing. So definitely an honor. It's awesome to have another guy on the team on the same watch list. I think it speaks a lot for you know, the quality of players that Coach Hoke brought in and that Coach Harbaugh now has, and Coach Durkin's coaching, Coach Madison's coaching, Coach Smith, who's now at Florida Tech, coached. So definitely speaks a lot for the University of Michigan and what they're doing.
I think it has to be a friendly rivalry between you and James, but also you guys have to be able to help each other out, because it's not like the defenses can concentrate on one of you.
Oh, for sure. You know, and you know, it's James and I both on that list, but you know, Desmond Morgan, Ben Gideon, all those guys are quality players. And, you know, I don't think there's one person out of the 11 guys on defense that you can really focus on without getting hurt by another guy if you do. So, you know, it's, you know, like I said, it's an honor and everything. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that make up a team and 11 guys that make up a solid defense when you're on the field. So I think you got to credit all 10 or 9 other guys when you're on the field.
Michigan linebacker Joe Bolden joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Played in an all-star game with Michael Rose, and I want to get your opinion. So yep. Nebraska and Michigan have a couple other things in common besides being college football dynasties. They both went through coaching changes. Every player at every level would love to have success, be friends, have great coaches, and have all the success. That's not exactly what's going on at either program right now. How hard is it to go through something like that, like you guys are doing, like the Huskers are doing?
It's funny. You know, one of our strength coaches, you know, you mess with your – that's who you spend most of your time with when it comes down to it. And he's a very funny guy. He's worked for NASA and all this stuff. Very smart individual. And, you know, sometimes we joke and he said, life's hard. And he hit the nail on the head. And, you know, you're going to face adversity. You're going to face a lot of issues along the road. You know, I think you mentioned Mike. You know, he had a knee injury. He's come back from that strong, you know, from what I can see. And, you know, both programs, I think, are they made changes this year, like you said. Definitely know where they want to be, where they have been, and what they want to get done. And, you know, I think they got – each program's got the guy in there that'll get it done. And, And I guess the future can only tell, right?
We hope so.
Yep.
Now, Mike Riley hasn't taken his shirt off yet that we know
no,
of.
No, no.
Oh, gosh.
And it hasn't been tweeted out anyway. So
that joke never gets old, does it, Joe?
Of course.
When you kind of take a look at Michigan and where they match up in the East, I mean, the East is seen as being so packed this year with the defending national champions, your arch rival in Ohio State, Michigan State. Also, if you know, one's your arch rival, one's arch rival number two,
exactly.
You know, right there. Great opportunity for Michigan to upset the apple cart for a couple of teams that are seen as being top five programs.
Yeah. You know, you can take preseason how you want it. You can take all these polls, all these watch lists how you want it. But like I said a little bit ago, football still needs to be played. And, you know, nobody's won a game until the first game's played. And even then, you still got a lot of work to do. So, you know, step by step, especially for Michigan, you know, Coach Harbaugh and the team, it's really, like you said, taking it step by step, one game at a time, all the way up until, you know, the last Saturday in November.
And you get both those teams in the big house. You get to have them at your place.
Yes, finally. It's been a while.
Talk about Joe being an Ohio boy going to Michigan. That's Michigan boy go to Ohio, Ohio boy going to Michigan, how that all came about. And is, do you get a lot of flack about that, or is there talk about that, or is that all in the past?
You know, it's actually a fairly easy drive from Cincinnati up to Ann Arbor, straight up 75 north. So, you know, once I hopped on that highway, there was no looking back. So, you know, it is what it is. Some people hate me. Some people love me. That's life, right?
Well, if you're a Reds fan, you're going to be okay with me. I'm just saying.
All right.
Well, I think you said no comment.
They did win again at St. Louis the other night, but they lost the one before.
What has that transition been like with Coach Harbaugh? I mean, we have the perception of, you know, being a football fan, you've known Coach Harbaugh for a very long time. What is the perception, and how is that different from the reality now that you've gotten to know him a little bit?
You know, he's, you know, from what I've paid attention to, you know, I know he coached at Stanford and then went to the 49ers, and now he's in Michigan. So a lot of West Coast football. When I was being recruited, Stanford was actually the only West Coast school that I you know, seriously thought about, simply because the academics and everything. I also drew a circle around my house where my family could drive to, so it kind of eliminated a lot. But, you know, in terms of Coach Harbaugh, I'm really paying attention to what he's done and what kind of individual he is. The perception and what you see is what you get. You know, he is who he is. You know, you joke about his shirt coming off and stuff during Peru ball. You know, he doesn't care. He loves the game. He's playing the game. He's competing. You know, that's what he's done his whole career. That's what he's going to continue to do. And that's what he's shown us, you know, his players, that he's going to do. So, you know, like I said, perception is reality. And what you see with Coach Harbaugh is what you get. You get a competitive, enthusiastic, passionate man for the game of football and for his you know, his team.
I'm trying to remember which one of the athletes we talked to last year that majored in kinesiology. Is this the wave of the future, Joe?
Maybe. You know, sport management and kinesiology, it's definitely an interesting field. I think it's a growing field. A lot of things you can go into out of it. So, you know, I did it because I love sports. My dad's an athletic director. My uncle was a head coach, you know, also a strength coach at the high school. So, a lot you can go in. You can broadcasting, just a whole lot, marketing, everything.
Well, obviously academics very important to you. Michigan, one of the elite academic programs in the country. You mentioned being interested in Stanford for that to that very reason. What does the future hold? I mean, obviously you're thinking, man, someday your football days are going to be over with. Have you kind of narrowed down a little bit? Are you more interested in the broadcasting, or are you more interested in maybe working for a company that has some sports products? What are you looking to do?
I would say coach. Either professionally or collegiately. You know, I know everybody starts with the GA position, works their way up. So, you know, hopefully football works out after the next couple months are over, and I can play professionally somewhere and somebody will give me that opportunity. But ultimately it's where what God's plans are for me. And, you know, if he says he wants me to play a couple more years, then I'll definitely play a couple more years. I know, you know, I wouldn't mind it. My family wouldn't mind it. You know, doing something I love, but I'm also, after I'm done, going to continue doing something that I love, and I'm going to pursue coaching and probably start here at the collegiate level and maybe work my way up to professional. I don't know. Coach Harbaugh is probably a good guy to talk to about that.
Well, there's definitely some pluses bringing him into the program as well. If that Butkus Award comes your way, you're going to need a strong mantle, and it holds down a lot of paper, so you'll have that going for you.
That'd be nice.
Joe, have a great season. Thanks for stopping and giving us some time on the Duggan Daddy Show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Go Blue.
Joe Bolin, linebacker, Butkus Award candidate for the Michigan Wolverines, and our Big Ten chat brought to you by Garrett Tires and Tread, celebrating 50 years of service with the Garrett Guarantee. A couple of more Big Ten before the end of the month, and then we'll be into football next week, previewing BYU and getting ready for the Huskers, the Lopers, and the Broncos. We'll have some of our weekly chats as we've had over the years here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bob Jensen going to join us every Wednesday to preview high school football. We'll be talking with coaches Lamerson and Harper weekly throughout the season to recap and preview Loper and Bronco football throughout the season. So a lot going on, and it's getting closer by the day. High school's this week, college is next week, and I know the fans are looking forward to it, Jimmy.
Yeah, this time of the year is really exciting, you know. But like a lot of people have said this too. Well, everybody's 0-0 right now. You know, we're all 0-0. Everybody's got high hopes, and that's great.
Well, that's going to wrap things up for a Monday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. More Big Ten tomorrow. Our high school football preview is going to be with Steve Raymer at Sutton. Again, in that outstanding district with St. Cecilia, Donovan Trumbull, been state-rated, have made trips down to Lincoln, and they were off a little bit with the graduation last year, so they had to get some youngsters. Well, the youngsters now aren't quite as much youngsters and in the top five in the preseason polls, so we'll talk with Coach Raymer tomorrow. We want to thank Jace Doolin of Elm Creek for joining us today, Joe Bolden, linebacker from Michigan, and, of course, the head volleyball coach at Hastings College, Matt Buttermore. Coming up later in the week, Luke Hoover with our fantasy football preview. We'll talk with Stu Pospisil Friday of the Omaha World Herald. We'll catch up on Loper Link Wednesday with track and cross country coach Brady Bonzel. Lots of things going on, and we hope you'll be with us for each and every one of the shows. Jimmy, we'll see you later in a week.
Yep, take care, Doug.
Folks, have a great one. Thanks for listening to the Doug and Daddy Show. You can always catch the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.